kind of look back, how did you know that your partner, how did you know they were the one?
I'm not sure I knew she was the one, but...
But I was.
Of course.
He came up to me and he goes, we have to talk. And so that's when he kind of spilled out how he was feeling. And I said, no, maybe in the future, we'll see what God has in store. And he said from that comment, he knew that he had me. But there were...
kind of locked in. No.
I think for me, it was a realization that I don't have to be with anybody to be okay, mm-hmm. And to find God's will for my life. But if I do, that'd be awesome. Yeah. And then in waltzes Carrie. So like, you know, it was kind of perfect timing.
What kind of activities and things do you enjoy doing together?
We're both pretty like productive, efficient people. We do a lot of things together, but they tend to be like, hey, we're gonna go shop together, or we're gonna go work on this project together, or whatever.
In the summer, we like to walk together or ride bikes together. Like to go out for coffee together.
I watch a different genre. Like, I'm a big comic book nerd, so I'm kind of getting her into my ways of like going to all the Marvel movies that come out in theater. And she knows now we are staying for both after credit scenes. You know,
like
there's no debates. Country wasn't an option before we got married. I now listen to country here and there. So,
what are some communication strategies that you have learned being together for 10 years?
Based on, you know, what we have been through, and I think a lot of our prior relationships had helped us to realize that a lack of communication is going to add to brokenness in our relationship. When something's bugging us, we could typically tell.
Oh yeah,
because
for sure.
We don't try to fake anything within our marriage. I mean, it's neither of us try to put on a happy face when we're angry. If it's a conversation that we can't have in front of the kids, then we just send them to the basement and say, all right, we're going to hash this out.
Play Legos for a little while. Yeah. We're going to talk.
And I think we both realized pretty early on that, you know, we're not a couple that likes to drag things out over a long period of time.
Yeah.
The ability to let one another say, I feel this way, then that's okay. But I feel this way. What are we going to do about it? And that idea that you can agree to disagree and move on and try to fix it, because we are two different, completely different people. I don't have a sense of control, and I don't want a sense of control. I just want us to work together.
I don't know, I feel. You really did good on that one.
Sometimes I go down a rabbit trail and
I
don't know where it's going.
Right.
So the conference is coming up. I'm curious maybe what you would say to some couples that are wondering about it, either debating whether they should go. And how do you think that the conference is going to benefit your guys' relationship?
I think that there might be a lot of couples that are probably scared to go because they're not sure what it'll bring out in their marriage. Mm. I would just give advice as to saying just go and let it out. I think that's the best part of healing and growing in a relationship and even for yourself. So I'm excited to see what it brings out in us and what healing can be done through that.
Well, I would say get signed up because we're going to be there. It's going to be super fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can sit with us.
Sit with a fun couple.
Yeah. No, but really, I would just say it's always going to be worth it to invest in your marriage. Do you know what I mean? Like, when my marriage is struggling or when we're not doing great, everything else suffers. It's never a bad time to pour into your marriage and to get stronger with your spouse. So like, if you're having a hard time right now, it's the perfect time to come and be rejuvenated.
Just to be reminded of some things and also just have that wisdom. It's always great to, I think, to get wisdom.
The enemy of our souls loves to isolate.
Yeah, that's true.
And loves families and marriages to suffer due to thinking, well, we're the only ones that are going through this.
Mm-hmm.
We're at the end right now. Like, this is, there's no more hope for this. What greater joy than finding healing and restoration in that and sticking it to the enemy a little bit and fixing it? Chances are that you're gonna run into somebody there that is going through the exact same thing that you are, that can help you see some light at the end of the tunnel.
Good morning, us, whether you're here in the building or joining us online, welcome. My name is Laura Robertson.
I'm Nate Mettler.
And we have been working together on this marriage initiative here at WCC. And we would just love to take a moment and invite you to come to the Two Becoming One conference that Mark and Jen Mitchell, who were doing the interviews in that video, they are going to be leading us through this weekend, and it's gonna be an incredible time together.
It's gonna be amazing. And we've gotten a little bit of a peek behind the scenes, okay. And one of the stats I remember was something like investing eight hours. In a year in your relationship can significantly lead to a healthier marriage, more of a sense of unity. Yep. Just incredible to think about how much time maybe we spend on Netflix.
Yes.
And then think about 8 hours in a year investing in your spouse and what a worthy investment of our time. And just really excited about couples in the church doing that.
Absolutely. And we've tried to do whatever we can to remove barriers. Mm-hmm. So we know it's a busy time of the year. We're not going to act like it's not. It is. We still want you to come. And we want you to come whether you're newlyweds. You know, you saw anywhere from 1 year to 36 years in that video. And they're all going to be here because there's something for everyone. And we really want to make sure that this is accessible to you, whether or not you feel like we're in a great place or while we're really having some troubles. This conference is designed to see the best, mm-hmm. and to give us the hope of what operating in God's design for marriage,
amen.
Really looks like.
Amen. And just knowing that coming to the conference is going to be fun, yep. and lighthearted, awareness building for sure, practical, but it's not going to be a situation where you're feeling like you have to say, like, my wife and I argued right before we came here or something like that, you know. So
right.
There will be that safety, yeah.
Absolutely. Like Tim was saying, there are going to be people there that are walking through what you're walking through. Absolutely. But you don't have to talk with them about it. It's going to be time for you to learn and for you and your spouse to get on the same page. So one of the other things that we've done to remove barriers is Friday night, we're offering childcare for free. So if that's a hindrance, we know it's a big commitment. So Friday night, we'll take care of your kiddos. And then Saturday, it's up to you to find someone. But we're just really excited.
Yeah.
Want you to get involved. Please ask questions. Scan the QR code. Find out details. And we really want to see you there.
Yes. As Laura said, scan the QR code, the What's Going On flyer. Just 8 days left to register. So definitely check that out and get registered as soon as possible. 9 days left to register for our parent-child dedication. So as you may know, a couple times a year we celebrate parent-child dedication. Parents committing themselves to raising their children in a Christ-centered home and knowing that it takes a village. And so there'll be parents up here on May 5th making that commitment to their children. And then we're going to invite the church to commit back and say, we will support you in that. And what a beautiful picture that is of us all coming together and loving those children and raising them up in the Lord. So 9 days to register for that. Parent-child dedication is on May 5th, and we are looking forward to it.
Thank you so much for considering both of these opportunities. I want to just invite you guys to stand because we are going to continue worshiping this morning together and entering into celebrating God's faithfulness.
One with So Jesus, you brought heaven down.
Thank you, God.
My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus, what a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. Oh.
Death could not hold you. Tore before you, he silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring,
the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no right. Powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. You have no rival. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name.
In the name of Jesus. Can we just sing out our own song to the Lord in this moment? Can you just open up your heart and worship Him right now in this moment? Let's reserve this space in this moment for Him and Him alone. We love you, God. We worship you. We lift you up in this place, God. You deserve to be magnified and glorified. Exalt you, God. We worship you, Lord. Have your way in our hearts and our minds today and in this service, God. This is all for you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning. I happened to be at a wedding last night, and love was in the air. It was just a beautiful, wonderful thing, and I was just looking at this couple and smiling ear to ear, and comments were made like, oh, look how radiant she looks. And the speech that the maid of honor gave was saying, oh, I was with her one time when he called. And it just changed her whole countenance. How long do you think that'll last? I would try to get our table to do a little pool, like, when should we follow up with this couple? Just thinking, I'd love to see their thoughts, you know, like in the bubbles up there, you know, like, hey, this is what one's thinking. Just think how fun that would be. And we could have a lot of fun with it, because it starts with like, oh, she's so beautiful, and he's so smart. And he's thinking up there, he's looking around, hey, I wonder how they got that wiring. He's a technician, so he's like, hey, how'd they get that speaker up there? Right during the ceremony, that's what he'd be thinking, right? And then you think about all the differences that would come out. Where they want a vacation. She loves the beach, he likes to ski. The basement that they're going to refinish, he's thinking man cave, she's thinking for the kids. I mean, we could go on and on about what's heading their way. And so how are they supposed to navigate that? Are they just supposed to live on love? Is that what's going to happen? He's thinking dual income, and she's thinking, I'm going to be a mom and stay home with my kids and raise them. So the differences are there. And we are going to be talking about marriage, two becoming one, which, as we saw that verse at the end of that video, that's what Jesus was describing. He's actually quoting from Genesis, and we're going to read that in just a second. But we know about marriage and how difficult. That's what we know about marriage, how hard it can be, how difficult it could be. So I want to do something a little bit different. I don't know if we've ever done this, but I thought we'd start with, like, let's talk about the ideal husband and the ideal wife. So in talking about the ideal husband, I thought I'd ask Karen to come, and she could talk about me. She's not even here, so that's going to be tough. She's watching online, so she'll be here next hour. But anyway, couldn't make it today. Anyway, she probably didn't want to hear this stuff. You know, I'm the kind of guy that when I do something, like put the dishes in the dishwasher, I make extra noise. So I want her to hear it. Because it's embarrassing to go, hey, did you notice I put the dishes in the dishwasher? I unloaded it. Hey, did you notice? You don't want to do that. That's tacky. So you make it a little bit extra noise, and then hopefully she hears it. And if not, just wait till you know she's closer, and then do it again. Oh, I forgot one little fork. See? So she wouldn't have a whole lot to say about the ideal husband. I'd have more to say about an ideal wife. Karen's amazing. So marriage, the difficulties. But let's look at God's design. You know, rather than start with, hey, this is how you can make your marriage better, let's start with what God says about marriage, what he's wanting to do. Marriage is the thing that is the best representation of how much Christ loves you, loves me, loves this body, loves the church, his church. There's nothing better to display what unconditional love looks like, unwavering acceptance, commitment, dedication, without strings, without expectation. That's how Christ loves us. And that's how we're supposed to love each other. So let's start there. And I recognize that that picture, you know, if we're looking at marriage and we're thinking, hey, that's a great representation of how Christ loves us. Oh, it's broken. The picture's not just faded, it's broken. When we look at marriages, we can't really see Christ's love for the church. Unconditional, unwavering love and acceptance. John chapter 13, verse 34 says this. Jesus is speaking here. He's talking to his disciples. And as he talks to his disciples, there's a couple things you need to know. He's about to go to the cross. This is at the Last Supper. And he says this, "So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other." Now, there's an idea that if we talk about marriage, and we are going to be for the next 3 weeks, that if you're not married, well, then forget about it. Well, no. Did you just hear that verse? We're going to make some very specific application to marriage for sure. But the principle, this command is to every person who's placed their faith in Christ. This is for every believer. Love one another. Love one another. And how? On what level? Love as much as you can love? No. Just as I have loved you. How much does he love you? Completely, perfectly, unchanging, unwavering. So that's how all of us are supposed to interrelate with each other. So what is God's design? We see in Genesis chapter 2, verses 18, and then we'll skip down to 21 and read what the original design was. This is right after God created everything. He created man in his image, and he's going to create woman in his image, image bearers of the God of the universe, the crown jewel of creation. Verse 18, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him.'" The helper. You know, maybe like your kids help you. That's not what that means. Help, that word help, is translated from the Hebrew word ezer, which means help. It does. But you know the same term is used for God? God is our help. The verse kind of explains a little bit. It says, who is just right for him. This help that is just right for him. We're talking about a partnership. Unless you want to say, oh, God's my little helper like my kids, I wouldn't. The relationship and the help that God is to us is the same way that the wife is to the husband. So let's continue. Let's go to 21. It says, "So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While the man slept, the Lord God took out one of his ribs and closed up the opening. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man. At last," the man exclaimed, "this one is bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken from man. And this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Now the man and his wife were both naked, but they felt no shame." That last verse, that they were naked and felt no shame. Yes, that's representing the physical, but it was not just physical. It was relational and emotional. There was no barrier. They weren't afraid. They were vulnerable, yes. They were open. They had intimacy. They had this vulnerability in front of each other. That's God's design for marriage. That's what he wants, this intimate relationship, so deep and so intimate that we can be together. I can be exactly who I am, and Karen can be exactly who she is, and there's unconditional love and acceptance, openness, vulnerability, care, partnership. Does that describe any of our marriages? Maybe little shots of it, but no, and why not? It's called the fall. This is Genesis chapter 2. Read Genesis chapter 3. Even though they were in that perfect state without sin, they went ahead and sinned. And because of their sin, that right relationship was broken. It was broken. It wasn't just broken Adam and Eve. It was also death of the relationship with God. Now, Adam and Eve are now separated from God. They're going to be separated from their bodies. Their soul is going to separate from their bodies. When this body dies, our soul separates. That's death. This broken relationship with Adam and Eve, what could take place? And we know that God is a God of restoration. He's a God of redemption. And so we know that Christ went to the cross to redeem us, to restore us. And he did. By his son dying on the cross, we now have a right relationship with God. That relationship is restored. We can now go boldly right in front of him and pray into the throne of grace because of Christ. Our souls are going to spend eternity with him because he's conquered death. And God wants for us in our marriage what he originally intended. And he redeemed that too. When a person comes to faith in Christ, he conquered that separation. He conquered the death of that relationship. And not just that one, with others. So, we see his design. It's only good. It's what was best. It is what's best. But let's talk about the reality that we live in. Go ahead and pull up the first. Now, when we talk about divorce, it's painful, isn't it? There's not a person in this room that hasn't been affected very deeply by it. And if you've gone through a divorce, I'm sorry. I can only imagine how painful it is. I've seen it up close and how much damage it does. Right now, present day, we're about 48%, 47% divorce rate. Almost half the people who get married get divorced. And then here's some of the fallout. Here's some of the stats. Average marriage lasting 8 years. You guys know what the 7-year itch is, right? After 7 years, that's the danger zone. That's the most common time. Yes, the average is 8, but the most common time is 7. And then more recently, we've seen this spike in the number of divorces, and they call it the silver divorce, which is speaking of people with gray hair. Get into your 50s and kids go away. And you're looking at your spouse. I don't even know if I like them. In fact, I'm pretty sure I don't. You see the stat on the end, it says 66% of divorces are initiated by women, filed by women. That number actually is higher. This is a little bit old. The highest one I saw was 75. Most are in the low 70s. 70% of the divorces are coming from women. Why is that important? Why is that significant? That 53-year-old looking at her husband and has spent 20 years, 25 years perhaps, and she's looking at him saying, I don't even like him. I'm not even sure who he is anymore. You can put up the next slide. I don't think I want to spend whatever time I have left living like this. And we can act like, well, that's not me. That couldn't happen to me. The couple last night aren't thinking about that. They've been married 14 hours. It's amazing. It's wonderful. They can't even imagine getting to that place. But it's not hard to get there. It's pretty easy. These are the reasons that people give. Grown apart, not compatible. Health issues, whether that's mental, substance abuse, infidelity. 27%. Money is surprisingly low as I look at that. We can look at those stats. And let's just be honest. Let's just say, hey, that's what happens to almost half of the marriages. And by the way, if we added those people who stay together that are miserable, it is much, much higher. Oh, we're staying together, but we're miserable. Let's go ahead and look at Matthew 19, 3 through 8. What we're going to read here is that same phenomenon was happening in Jesus' day. And so the Pharisees are trying to trick Jesus. And they're going to ask him about divorce, about this very topic. It says in verse 3, some Pharisees came and tried to trap him with this question. Should a man be allowed to divorce his wife for just any reason? Jesus is replying here. He says, haven't you read the scripture? They record that from the beginning, God made them male and female. And he said, this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife. And the two are united into one. Since they are no longer two, but one, let no one split apart what God has joined together. Then they ask him, then why did Moses say in the law that a man could give his wife a written notice of divorce and send her away? So if it's not supposed to happen, why does it happen? Why did Moses tell people they could get divorced? Jesus replied in verse 8, Moses permitted divorce only as a concession to your hard hearts, but it was not what God had originally intended. Hard hearts. So we can look at those reasons that people give. You dig deeper, it's a hard heart. And it's not hard to see that happen in marriages, to see distance, more and more distance, farther and farther away. So how do we prevent that? What would you say to that newlywed couple? What would you say to them? I can tell you right now they're not going to listen because they think, well, that won't happen to us. I love doing premarital counseling. They're so upbeat and so happy and so accommodating and graceful and engaged. I just enjoy that. And what I want to say is, no, never mind. You don't know what's coming, you know? And when you try to get at some of those, how do you guys have conflict? How do you handle that? Let's get some tools in your toolbox. How are you guys going to fight? Fight? Disagree? Have a conflict? What would we even waste our time having tool for that? We're not going to experience that. Oh, yeah, we all do. And so we see then that there is some things very practically. And the biggest one, to avoid that, the biggest thing you can do to avoid that is to follow Jesus. Go ahead and show the graph with Christ in the center. So if you have a husband and a wife, yes, they've been united. They are still individuals. We don't lose our personal identity when we get married. It's not somehow mongoloid and it's just put in there in this way that's just kind of meshed into it. Like, no, no, no. You're still who you are. You have your own identity in Christ, and so does he or she. You don't lose who you are, but you do become one in this framework. And here you are. So how do you stay together? How do you not get a hard heart? You pursue Christ. You move towards him. So if I had a little dot or a little pointer, I'd say, okay, if the wife is moving toward Christ and the husband's moving toward Christ, are they getting closer together? Yes. That is first and foremost. Now let me ask you this. What if somebody isn't pursuing Christ? Like, well, my wife, She didn't even come to the first service. Well, that's fun, right? But what if she wasn't interested in Christ? Or if the husband isn't? We'll look at that. If we moved the husband towards the wife and she doesn't move towards Christ, are they still getting closer? Yes. If the husband is over here and the wife moves towards Christ, is she getting closer to her husband? Are they getting closer? The answer is yes. Now, you can look at 1 Peter chapter 3 if that's your situation. There are very specific instructions of how that's supposed to work and what God would have and how God can work even in the midst of that difficulty. So, the old adage about compromise in a marriage. You ever done that? I've done it. I mean, I've probably based the first 10 years of my marriage on it. You know what the compromise is, right? Oh, you want to go to the beach? I want to go skiing. This year we'll go to the beach. Next year we'll go skiing. That's compromise. And you can do that. And that's the big things, but you can do it in the mundane things. Hey, I'll do this if you do that. I have certain things that I'm supposed to do, and Karen has certain things she's supposed to do, right? In our lives, in our marriage. And we can compromise. A little bit of a barter. I'll do this, give up what I want, but I'm going to get it tomorrow. I'm going to get paid back tomorrow. That is not what God intends. Now, if you don't know Christ, that's all you have. And if you do that effectively, you can have a decent marriage because you're compromising, you're giving in. It's required if you're going to compromise. But can you imagine not having a compromise, but a surrender? You know, when we can't find a way to compromise and we disagree, and I saw a little bit of that on the video that was played. Well, we've recognized we don't have to agree. You don't. What do you do with that? Well, it depends on how much I want what I want. That's how I deal with it. That's how you deal with it, I'm guessing. But this idea of just compromising, you can have a decent marriage. But the one of surrender, the one where I say, Karen doesn't owe me anything, and I owe her everything. If you don't approach it that way, you're going to be stuck in the compromise. You're never going to have what God intended from the beginning. It isn't, I'm going to get a little bit to get a little bit. I'm trying to think of that saying. When you talk about someone who is giving and then taking. That's not what God has intended for us. That's not what he intends for you. He wants us to have that relationship of deep intimacy. He wants us to be able to be vulnerable. He wants us to love each other the way he loves us. He just wants me to love Karen the way that he loves Karen. And that's only possible through him. So as we pursue Christ, we get closer and closer. A marriage is not give and take. It's give and give. Just like Christ, your relationship with him. He just gives and gives, and he loves, and he loves, he accepts, and he accepts. That's what he intends, and that was like, wait a minute, hold on. So I said for the first 10 years or so, that's how I did. In fact, I would consciously think, man, if I do that, where's it end? Like, if I start loading the dishes all the time, where's that end? I mean, beyond me loading the dishes all the time. After what? A month? Karen would start to think, oh, he's gonna do that. No more thank yous. No more gratitude. That's just what I do now. And then it'll be on to something else. Where will it end? I'm serious. Where could this end? She could take it. If I start just loving her and serving her the way Christ loves and serves her, she could take advantage of me. And I got a feeling she would. I've seen it. I've seen it. She used to wake me up in the middle of the night. Hey, the kids are crying. Now, I was in such a groggy state that I would immediately obey, go get the kid, and I'm holding the kid, and it's like, I don't want to do this. What? How did, why am, she's supposed to get up with her kids. I got work tomorrow. I'm tired. So if I start serving her and loving her the way Christ loves, this could go horribly wrong. I got to keep that bar low so I can get over it. I didn't even like hanging around people that you looked at their marriage and like, man, this guy's, he's amazing. Like, let's get away from them. Karen, let's go to Iowa, and I want you to spend some time with my cruddy buddies and their spouses. One weekend there, I'm looking pretty good. But there's fear. I was literally afraid. And Karen is one of the most gentle, loving, selfless people I have ever met. No, she is that. And I was afraid. But that's what it's supposed to look like. Now I can imagine, not just based on our ages, but life experience, that we're all over the map in our marriages. And so I wanted to give some practical things. And these things will help you get to that place. This will actually help you love each other, connect with each other, have more intimacy, have more emotional connection. It starts with gratitude. I'd love it if you took three of these home, and maybe even on the ride home, start the argument of over which three, and then come to a compromise. I'll give you this one if you give me that one. However you need to do that, that's fine. But put three of these to actually start doing if you aren't already. These things have helped Karen and I tremendously. Tremendously. Gratitude. Express it. If you're going to express it, the only way that really works, if you didn't expect it. You see, if Karen's expecting me to bring flowers for Valentine's Day, and I do that, I'm still at zero. If she expected it. But she's not expecting it. She can express her gratitude. And I don't mean surprise, because I've never done that before. That's not what we're talking about. It's like I didn't need to do it. It's like I don't owe her anything. So if I do that, she can be grateful and express that. And you know what? Karen does a lot of amazing things, and she's done them so long, it's just easy to not thank her for it, not express that gratitude. Just because I can predict that today she's going to do X doesn't mean I should expect it. And when it happens, I should express that gratitude. Thankfulness. Have you ever wondered why people have support animals? And they bond. They need to take them everywhere. It reduces anxiety and stress. That is a real thing. Those of you who have pets probably know this. So what happens? How can you get so connected? How can that animal, that presence of the animal, be such a difference maker in people's lives? Well, there's something that happens in our brains when we're connected with someone else or even an animal. Oxytocin and serotonin, two chemicals of the brain will release, and when they come together, there's almost a sense of well-being. It reduces stress, it reduces pressure, it reduces a lot of things. It provides a connection, it actually moves you towards each other. That's part of that intimacy that Adam and Eve had. And we have those same chemicals. So how are those chemicals released? Presence. The presence of that animal actually calms and relieves anxiety and stress. Yeah. Mostly because a dog can't talk, but when you hug each other, you have to do it for more than 20 seconds. That's how long it takes the brain to really know what's going on and to release that chemical. I used to make my kids give me a hug. I know that's terrible. They're in high school, though, and I had the 20-second rule. I'm going to hug you for 20 seconds. And it was great when they were little. They loved that, and they got bigger and bigger, and I still do it to them. Nope, nope, not yet. And you know when they're really stressed out? And I give them that hug, and they're adults out conquering the world, and I give them a hug for 20 seconds. About 20 seconds in, I can feel them start to relax. I can feel myself relax. And I'm bonding. How much more so with Karen? If you're married or not, I guess you can kiss whoever you want, but if you kiss for 6 seconds, it's the same result. And I'll give you a tip, guys. If you're doing that, don't count with your fingers on her back. You will get called out. Just saying. Didn't realize. Anyway. You need to spend 90 minutes a week talking. 90 minutes. You think, wow, how can I do that? Well, how many minutes are in a week? 10,080. I'll tell you what, talk for 80 minutes and you still have 10,000 other minutes to do other things. 90 minutes a week. And don't talk about all the stuff that's got to be happening for managing and running the house. Do that on your own time. This is your time. This is a time to connect, to talk about your hopes and your dreams. It's a time to remember your past. That's something I tell a couple. Never forget today. Never forget your wedding. Never forget these early years of marriage. Never forget when you were engaged, when you felt the way you feel. So remember, but then talk about your future together. You know when you do that, so there's something really important about doing that because your dreams come out, what you're really feeling comes out, where you're at right now comes out when you talk about the future because you have to orient yourself to how we're going to get there. And you know what, if you can't agree, well, don't compromise. No, there are times to compromise. But if it's a big issue, maybe about when we retire, maybe about when we have kids, maybe it's about how we raise these kids. How in the world, if two people disagree, can you come together? Go to Christ. You both have the Holy Spirit. Seek His direction. God, what do you want for us? And let Him tell you. Let Him speak into your retirement. Hey, this is how I would raise the kids. This is my approach. This is Karen's approach. How do we come together? Well, we can compromise. I get to discipline them half the time and she gets the other half. How's that supposed to work? But coming together, when Christ is leading you, no one is getting their way and not getting their way. We're getting His way. Take it to Him. Take it to Him. What does He want? Believe the best and extend grace. Don't tell yourself a story because we usually go dark. Ruminate on a man. Why is he late? Why didn't he do this? Why didn't she do that? Why doesn't she do this? Just believe the best and extend grace. And finally, Show the last slide. Just go ahead and read it. Every time you complain about your spouse, your heart hardens towards them. Every time you pray for your spouse, your heart softens towards them. That may be the best tool out there. Even better if you're praying together, but pray. I am thankful for Karen. I am so blessed that God brought us together, and he did. And that's how God led us to the mission field together. People ask, well, did you just kind of follow Todd and his? No, she was ahead of me, I can tell you that. But coming together, what's God have for us? And then when you go into those things, you know it was his leading, not her getting her way or you getting your way or not getting your way. That's what God wants, that intimacy and the bond. Before we pray, I wanted to draw your attention to that little flyer on your seat. The elders have asked John Robertson and Brad Shoup if they would be willing to serve as elders, and they have said yes. There's the Robertson clan and Laura. Cute. Oh, cowboys. What is happening? I want to rescind that. Let's go to a second. Let's go to Brad and Sarah instead. Now, that's a sharp-looking couple there. So what we'd like to do, we've asked them, and they have agreed, thankfully. But as part of the process, we just want to give a couple weeks for you that know them to do one of two things. One, you could affirm them. You can encourage them. If you are worried or you have a concern about them, go to them and talk to them. If you have a concern, you can also talk to me. And do it quickly. We're going to take a couple weeks for that process to play itself out, but excited about that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that you have a design for us. Lord, we know we live in a broken world and we are broken ourselves, but you redeem, you restore. So I want to pray healing on each person here, the hurts that they've experienced, what they're going through now, that they would recognize your presence and they would pursue you, knowing that you are the only one who can love them completely, securely, that you'll never abandon them. You'll never have a hard heart towards them. So God, we're thankful, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.